Call the meeting to order. This is the meeting of the Plan and Zone Commission. Welcome, everybody. It's nice to see so many friendly faces in the audience here tonight. We are a recommending body. We make recommendations to the City Council, and we take into considerations a variety of issues, rezoning, platting, and you'll see a copy of the agenda as we go through the meeting tonight. I would imagine that there might be some people that want to address us this evening. We'll hear a presentation from staff on each item. If you do have a comment, I'd like you to move to the podium in the back of the room. There's a microphone back there that makes it a lot easier for us to hear what you have to share with us tonight. So I believe we'll start with roll call.
Here.
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 Great, thank you. I think everyone's received a copy of the minutes from the March 20th meeting. Do we have any additions or corrections, or perhaps a motion?
Madam Chairwoman, I move that we approve the minutes of March 20th.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, minutes are approved. I think we've talked about the commission procedures. So we'll begin with case number 13-015. It's Century Heights Phase 3, submitted by Century Heights Phase 3 LC. Greg, do you have a staff report for us, please?
Madam Chairwoman, the site that we're looking at can be accessed by coming down 53rd Avenue from Middle Road and then going past Century Heights 15th Edition, or into Century Heights 15th Edition, going up this way and making a cross into Clock House. There's also potential for another drive to be brought through the existing right-of-way of 53rd and then brought up into a connecting roadway that is in the works potentially. Here's what we're looking at. This is the 53rd Avenue truncation right here. This is as far as it's gone to this point. This is what the city owns, 650 feet due east. This area here is owned by Unity Corporation. And what you see over here with this tree line is the southern boundary of the proposed Century Heights Phase 3 preliminary plat. This is from Clock House Avenue, the view showing Century Heights 15th over here. One of the settlements at Pigeon Creek, 6th edition, the Hess Farm right here, and then looking to the north, Century Heights 17th, looking back a little bit to the west. The proposed preliminary plat has 119 lots in it. This is 53rd Avenue down here. This is the Unity property right here. This is Clock House Avenue, the only means of entry at the present time. You do have a streamway that runs and feeds through here into one detention basin. You have another larger detention basin up here. And the idea is we're trying to make sure that stormwater does get contained within the subdivision. The potential for the future is that Hopewell Avenue will be extended over this northern boundary, and that creates more traffic circulation. There's a potential for another roadway to go in here as well and do what might be an extension of 53rd Avenue so that we get traffic circulation right here. This is going to be anticipated to be an arterial, or rather a collector street. 60 feet right away, 38 feet paved with a 6-foot recreational trail on this side, on the west side. Those are the elements involved here effectively with this preliminary plat. Staff recommends approval with the conditions that were listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Gray, I have a question. Can you give us the timing of these improvements with the roads? And you've talked a lot about a lot of potential. Do you have any timeline for when that's going to happen?
That's something I would defer that question to Mr. Connors, where it is in the CIP.
We are currently visiting with
Bob Walter and Jared Kirkhoff, who have the development to the south of the 53rd Avenue extension. They're the ones that basically gave us the right-of-way at the time that they developed settlement of Pigeon Creek. Been an ongoing discussion to see if 53rd extension gives them the ability to come in and maybe do something with the Unity property. I know they've made initial contact with the owners of the Unity property. We're also a little bit hung up on Hopewell Avenue trying to get right-of-way so we can complete that project. There was a discussion at the council level last night about maybe going to condemnation, not just for Hopewell Avenue, but maybe for the 53rd extension. So that isn't a process that happens overnight, but neither is going in and putting utilities and developing a subdivision. So our plan, and we're diligent on this, is to provide at least an access from the south to begin with, and very soon after an access to the north, which would be Hopewell, and do that before very few of these lots get developed. And we can see where we're at the time that the final plat comes in. As you know, the preliminary plat doesn't give the developer the right to start developing anything. It's after the final plat is accepted. So at the, you know, this will be probably another 30 days. It gives us time to get a little farther in. I do have a meeting Friday morning with Bob Walter and Jared Kirkhoff, so we'll find out what the update is on that. But obviously, nothing happens immediately.
So your hope is that we can keep this moving forward, and by the time we get to the final plotting stages, hopefully there'll be some resolution to some of these issues with access and...
Yeah, we'll know a lot more at that time.
Okay. Does anybody else have questions for Greg? No?
Madam Chairman, if I could just add something. At the council meeting last night, the council had the second reading of the rezoning. This issue was raised by council members, and basically what Bill just said was what we relayed. And I reminded the council that they've been reticent in their desire to condemn property over the last several years, that we've tried to resolve most issues amicably, but that takes a lot more time, and generally folks think they have the upper hand. So we will be coming back to the council based on our conversation last night to ask the council to consider condemnation proceedings. That doesn't mean that we would condemn, but it means it gives us the strength and the drive to be able to start the process to let those property owners that are affected know that there's a greater public purpose here, and that we have the permission of the council to pursue those proceedings. Council gave what I would consider to be a rather good nod to that, to indicate they'd like to see this move forward as quickly as possible. Staff perspective is that it's not real likely that you're going to have any homes developed, or if they are, very few this season. There's got to be a lot of utility work here, a lot of grading work, and that we should be able to work our way through on 53rd relatively quickly. We've been hung up on Hopewell, which is the main driver to the north that we have in the capital budget for that purpose. We thought we'd be much further along with Hopewell than we are at the current time. So I certainly had the impression that the council was very interested in pursuing that. The third reading on the rezoning will be in 2 weeks, the May 6th, 7th agenda, and folks are obviously always invited to come to those meetings to see that if they'd like, or certainly come to participate, or certainly talk to their council members in between now and then. But we, I think we feel a little more comfortable that council is going to give us that direction to pursue that, and I think that will assist in making this come to reality a lot quicker than it would otherwise.
Thank you. Before I ask for comments from the audience, I just want to make note of two documents that are here for us to look at in conjunction with this. One is a petition signed by a number of people in the area, neighborhood, calling for a halt for the addition to Century Heights Phase 3 until 53rd Avenue is extended to allow direct access. Also commenting that additional traffic to Judge Road and Hugo Road due to this development poses unacceptable safety concerns to the families in the area. So I'll let the commissioners look at that. There's also a document here related to a traffic petition. Bill, do you have any comments on the traffic petition?
I just received it right before the meeting and gave it to the city attorney, so I haven't had a chance
okay.
to review it.
All right. So I'll take note that we've received that. I'll give the commissioners the chance to look it over, and we'll take that into the record. Okay. Anyone else on the commission? There's no other questions. All right, then we'll open it up to the audience. If there's anybody that would like to address us, please step to the microphone in the back. It will be helpful to us if you can give us your name and address.
My name is Chad Statz, and I live on in Century Heights. I live on Judge Road, which, you know, obviously that we just talked about here as the southern entry route. I'm here to voice my concern that I think it would be very premature to grant approval to advance on this plot without concrete definitive plans and land possessions to allow 53rd Avenue as well as Hopewell to come through. Like I said, I think it'd be very premature to just rely on, well, let's just funnel everything for now through Judge Road while we start building all these houses, and then we'll kind of work on 53rd and Hopewell at the same time. You know, what we talked about here is 119 houses, and for that many houses to be coming up and down just Judge Road, you know, easily, if you just take coming and leaving to work every day or whatnot for those 120 houses, that's over 200 cars coming up and down that street. So I think that's really a burden on one street to hold that kind of traffic. And beyond that, Judge Road, I don't know, a lot of you probably aren't familiar, but a great majority of the houses up and down that street have children, and they have small children, and they all play together. And it really is a safety concern to go this prematurely and say, okay, well, we'll take Judge Road for now, and then we'll let them start building houses, and we'll work on 53rd trying to get that land, and we'll work on Hopewell. I think that's premature, and it, you know, it puts a strain on Judge Road, and it puts a strain on the families of that street and those streets that join through there, whether it's Julianne or Hugo or any of these roads. There's a lot of families in there that are very concerned about this, and I think it'd be premature to move forward. Like I said, it's easily a couple hundred extra cars going up and down that street. The other point I'd like to point out is over the last year to 18 months, there's been several calls throughout our neighborhood to the police department to get the speeding under control. There is a rampant speeding problem up and down Judge Road. And if you guys, I don't know how you guys do that, if you can reference that, if you would reference calls to Judge Road, you would see there's been multiple calls to the police department to get that traffic slowed down. And that's without any of this, obviously. That's just what's going on now. Okay? I know of at least two different occasions where we've had, the police department has worked with us, and they've done a good job with us, and they were just as concerned as we are. And they put the digital signs out there on Judge Road, the ones you drive by, and it tells you how fast you're going. They've done that a couple times to help alleviate this traffic problem through there. And there's another time when the police actually came to my door because I put a slow down sign out in the middle of Judge Road. And they said, you know, neighbors complained, you have to take that speeding sign down. So I think there's a well-documented speeding problem already with just the current traffic we have. And so when you multiply that by 120 more houses and all the traffic that that's going to invoke, and then couple that with the uncertainty of, well, when's this 53rd route and when's this Hopewell route, when are they coming in? I think right now there's a lot of concerns, and we should really slow down on approving this. You know, and the other thing I speak of is, you know, I don't want to stop progress. I think, you know, new housing starts and expand the property base is good for the community and it's good for our city. So it's not so much we don't want all those houses back there. I just think there's some legitimate concerns and red flags right now in terms of moving forward at this point. So thank you.
Thank you, Chad. Yep. Anyone else in the audience?
My name is Reed Barrett. I'm at 5382 Judge Road. I do echo everything that Chad mentioned and all of his concerns. The one thing I would add is that the extension or development of Hopewell alone is not a viable option, because folks in the Phase 3 portion will still travel on Clockhouse and Judge and come down to 53rd. So I just wanted to make sure that we made that point, that that's probably not a viable option in of itself. Thanks.
Garrett Keys, 5363 Judge Road. Poor Bill's had to deal with me a lot the last couple months on this. So I guess the big question I have, I spent a lot of time talking to people about this, is what's the rush? What's the hurry? Why don't we wait until we have the access coming in on 53rd? Why don't we wait till we have that piece of property, or the developer can work with that? Why do we need to go ahead and get this rolling until we have the distinct access points, so that way this traffic isn't funneled through our neighborhood? That's, I guess, the big question that I would pose. Why don't we just wait until, whether it takes condemnation or whatever it takes, why do we need to forge ahead and then wait for the final platting process?
Thanks, Eric.
Todd Kaplan from Julianne Road, 5523. One other additional item that I would add to this is, and I know one of the counter arguments would be, well, we have a long process to go through before houses will be built, and you know the roads will get there, we promise. Well, that land is not going to get developed to the point where it's ready for houses without bringing significant heavy equipment onto that land to begin with. So I would say that absolutely nothing should even be considered to go forward until there's access for that heavy equipment and the people doing the work on that land from the north and the south. Thanks.
Thanks, Todd. Anyone else?
Thank you for allowing me to speak this evening. I'm Matt Blaylock, and I live at 5477 Julianne Court. Wanted to introduce myself. I'm new to the community. Moved in October. I've lived in a number of large metropolitan areas, including Chicago and Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm no stranger to big city traffic and big city living. When we were given the opportunity to come to the Quad Cities, we specifically picked Bentendorf for the quality of life. Now, with the increased traffic that the proposed is bringing to the area, it's also bringing that big city traffic to our neighborhood. So I would like to support the other members of my community here in asking for some concrete plans for extending 53rd Street as well as Hopewell prior to approval of this project, to ensure that we've got that small town, that good quality of life within our neighborhood for our children. I have concerns with the heavy equipment. I have concerns with the existing traffic coming through. Apparently, this Century Heights 2 may not be in the GPS, is because we have a disproportionate amount of people coming into the neighborhood and turning around in a number of the courts confused as to where they're at. So we have a disproportionate amount of traffic today as it relates to the number of homes. An additional concern that I would have, I'm no public safety expert, however, with one path into the subdivision, I also have concern for those future members of our community that would be living in that area with only one way in and one way out. So I want to thank you all for your service and look forward to meeting you all in the community in the near future.
Thanks, Matt. Any other comments?
My name is Rob Fick, and I'm the developer of this project. This is what would be the 19th edition of Century Heights, and we started the first edition approximately 20 years ago, and we came off of Surrey Heights, and Surrey Heights at that time was a fully developed subdivision and had one entrance into it. Many additions, and I think you'll have a plat here later on this evening, will have a similar situation. It is unfortunate. I think if you could, Mr. Beck, put the previous slide up that shows, yes, you can see how Hopewell Avenue came to the south. This would have been another access, but we were asked by the city to relocate that particular alignment of Hopewell so that it would go directly east and west. This would have allowed us to have extended at that time Hopewell Avenue, but to accommodate the request of city, we went ahead and changed the alignment for Hopewell Avenue. The second thing that has been brought up is the traffic speeds that are on that. Unfortunately, if there are speeding problems on there, that certainly wasn't the cause of the development, because we have had no development on there at this particular time. We have an alternative route that we would have to bring in our heavy construction equipment, and we are hopeful that the city staff will be able to work that out here in the very near future. But this particular plat follows all the rules, regulations, and ordinances of the city of Bettendorf. It is also a subdivision that I think is R1 zoning, which is the largest zoning classification in the city of Bettendorf, and is consistent with the type of housing that exists in the previous 17, 18 editions of Century Heights. So we would request at least to move the preliminary plat forward, and many of the issues that have been raised tonight hopefully can be addressed before the final plat is considered. Thank you.
Rob, before you go back to your seat, do any of the commissioners have any questions for the developers?
More.
No? Okay. Thank you. That means you thoroughly answered our questions. Thank you. Bill, I'd like to ask a favor of you, a very brief one. I sense that we have some pretty sophisticated citizens in the audience that are familiar with our process and have already talked with you about it. But I always like to err on the side of people who maybe aren't exactly familiar with how projects like this move forward. And if you could just briefly review for them the preliminary plat, what happens after that, what are the next stages, and how a project is approved and developed.
Currently at the council level, and this was considered at a previous Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, we looked at a rezoning. Bare ground that's going to be developed in the city, especially as we move north, is usually zoned A1.
They can't hear you in the back.
I'm sorry.
Turn it up.
There we go. Much better. Thank you.
Usually zoned A1 agricultural, so its first step is always going to be a rezoning. After that, we go to the preliminary platting stage. And the preliminary plat is basically a document that gives us the ability to look at contours, see how the overall area will develop, see how we have connectivity of streets, how we have utility accesses, those types of things. It really is kind of a pre-engineering document for developing a subdivision. Preliminary plat is just something that's approved at the city level. It's not filed with the county, and it really gives the developer no ability to come on and do anything with the property at this time. It's when he comes in and we'll do a final platting, which will follow up after the rezoning and a preliminary plat is approved at council level, that the final plat will come to the Planning and Zoning Commission. Normally, the final plat will be a slice off of what the overall preliminary plat is. I think most developers come in and they look at the overall site. They look at maybe what their potential is for cash return on maybe 15, 20 lots, and that's what they'll come in. A lot of that depends upon what the utility costs are, what paving costs are for streets, and the other development costs associated. So staff is comfortable that at the final platting stage, if we don't have alternate access, that both the Planning and Zoning Commission and the City Council has the ability to maybe say, let's hold this up for a little bit. You know, I do understand the concerns of the neighbors. If it's stopped today, then they don't have to worry about it anymore until we have 53rd and Hopewell Avenue access. But does approving the preliminary plat put them at risk? My opinion, no.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
Madam Chairwoman, if I could, I do have a letter here from another interested citizen that probably should be introduced.
All right. Go ahead.
My name is Emily Scranton, 5470 Hugo Road. One question I would have, just a lack of knowledge of it, is how many homes can be in a community before, with one access point as far as ambulance services and so forth? My understanding is that the Pigeon Creek Schoolhouse Road area is halted due to lack of access in there because the Schoolhouse Road is the only access point. I don't know how many homes are back there, and maybe that's not correct knowledge, but that would be a concern of now you're just giving Clockhouse as the only access point, Judge to Clockhouse or Hugo to Clockhouse, but Clockhouse is the only access point to those 120 homes that are currently slated in this phase. There are more homes planned in the next phase.
Bill, can you help us?
When Pigeon Creek was developed, Mr. Walter's last addition, if you recall, and I don't know if Greg has a graphic there, I think he does, you can see where he did not complete his project north or south on the east leg. We did ask him to stop development because he did have one access point in and one access point out. I'm not prepared tonight to answer the number of lots that are associated there.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I would just add, Madam Chairman, that if you recall, the Highlands addition, which is about maybe a mile to the west of here, access point off of 53rd and another access point off of Hopewell to the north, when we constructed Hopewell, we completely blocked that subdivision. And so all access occurred, even though we had a street to the north, when we were building Hopewell, we blocked all access. Again, we knew that there would be a terminus of that because we were going to complete the road. I'm very confident that we have access to 53rd. We need to make access into this development through one other development that the developer does not control. I'm confident that the council is aware of that. I'm confident that the developer to the south is aware of it, and that we want that to happen to make this occur. And we have the power to do that. And I believe that it will happen. I shouldn't say I believe, I know it will happen. Our original plan, as Mr. Fick pointed out, was for us to drive Hopewell over at our request because we changed the alignment to better fit what the long-term alignment for Hopewell was, would have given quicker access. So from our perspective, this is not anything that's outside of what we have experienced with other developments as they develop and as we move through those developments. This is a normal process, a normal procedure. We have a number that have been a single access point. Knowing that we have to get the other access point, or knowing the other access point will in fact come in. So we're confident this is a normal process, and we're confident with the procedure, just as we've done for, well, I would say 24 years in my respective place. I'm comfortable that this is exactly what procedurally we're doing, just like any other subdivision that we've introduced and been a part of.
Thanks, Decker. Do we have any other questions, comments?
Hi, Melissa Judd. I live on Judge Road, 5487. From my understanding, what you're saying then is that it's perfectly acceptable to have this addition of 120 homes with one access point off a residential street. I know you're saying that you have plans and you have hopes that you can make something happen, but you're telling me you can go ahead and do preliminary approval as well as final approval based on this, correct?
Yes.
This is not 53rd. I mean, you're using examples of much larger streets for your one access point. This is a residential neighborhood. It's a very small street. It's got kids out in the front yards. And you're talking about 120 homes coming in. I think you can assume that that's going to be 4 to 6 trips a day with, you know, moms and dads leaving for work, going to school back and forth. 400 to 500 extra cars a day going down our residential street is acceptable.
You're not going to get 120 new homes in a year.
Well, it doesn't matter if it takes a year or 2 years, it's still going to be, you're telling me that this could be approved whether or not you ever extend Hopewell or 53rd, that this is acceptable.
That's true, but what I'm telling you is the council has put roughly, I think, $4 million aside for Hopewell and has already authorized Hopewell to be in. We own 53rd, and I don't know what the actual cost is to leg up, but that's not a very long portion to move up through the Unity property that can be acquired, I believe, within less than a year's time.
Well, then so, could you make it contingent upon this, that you cannot build this number of homes or any homes or the construction machines that need to go through our residential street to get there until these roads are approved and you know for a fact that they're completed?
The council has the authority to do that, not the Planning and Zoning Commission. The Planning and Zoning Commission can recommend that. The City Council has the authority to do that, and in fact, as Bill indicated, did do that with the division or the Settlement Creek subdivision. So the Council has the authority to do it, yes.
I just think it would ease a lot of our concerns if you were able to say that you're going to make it contingent, not that we can kind of move forward and that it might not ever happen. That the development will happen, but you don't really know for sure if the rest of it will. So that's our concern.
I understand.
Thank you.
Yeah, and along the same lines that Melissa said, what's the feasibility of not extending Clock House at all and just having Hopewell and 53rd? I mean, is that doable? Because then basically you take our neighborhood out of this. If you don't extend Clock House at all, you just keep it a little dead end, and then the developer and the city can wait on when they get around to extending Hopewell and extending 53rd. Then that whole situation is on your guys's shoulders, I guess, for lack of a better word, and not on our shoulders. Whereas once you extend Clock House, and all of a sudden when Hopewell and 53rd come in is on our neighborhood shoulders. So I would rather explore the feasibility of let's not extend Clock House and let's go with Hopewell and 53rd, and then that neighborhood with these 119 houses, that's their traffic that's getting funneled around outside of our neighborhood, so it's not on us. It takes that whole possibility out of there. So what's the feasibility of that?
To answer, Madam Chairman?
Go ahead.
It's always feasible. I think our perspective is the developer's got a preliminary plat here. The work that he's probably going to do, and I would ask you, Dave, the engineer, what would be most of the, if we approve this tomorrow, when could you start building a home in this subdivision?
October or November, possibly.
from our perspective, even if we finish this tonight, and we're not going to finish this tonight, we're several weeks away, the developer has to go in, begin the utility work, begin the subdivision work, the sewers, the storm sewers. All that work is going to take 6-8 months before they ever build a home. We believe we'll have access from 53rd during that period of time. The council has the desire to do that. We spoke about that last night. We don't see any issue with that. And they're not going to build probably maximum, I would bet, 20 homes if they could raise in that subdivision. This is not unlike any other subdivision that gets built as you move out and as the city moves out. We recognize that when we build the arterial streets or the collector streets, we have to build them simultaneous to and in concert with the development. So we don't have all the money in the world. So for us to try to take Hopewell all the way over to Criswell, I'm going to guess that's about $9 million to do that. We have other projects throughout the city, so we're trying to time this both in our timetable and to meet the development timetable. And to be perfectly honest with you, just as in the case of your homes, and somebody mentioned it here earlier, the economic value to us as a city that keeps us functioning right now are the 145 to 150 new homes that we build a year. So in terms of our ability to fund our operations, all these homes, your homes, the homes in Highland, the homes in Haley Heights, are all important to our economic viability. So from our perspective, allowing the preliminary plat to move forward, allowing the developer to move forward, the staff recommending to council to move 53rd North and Hopewell across, are all in perfect timing with what we envisioned as we went about our planning process over 5 years ago with these various subdivisions and including these capital projects in our plan. We're comfortable this meets what we anticipated happening and that it's just like any other subdivision that we go through and that we develop.
Sure. Yeah, no, point well taken, and I appreciate that. Just so this one other one about extending Clockhouse. Do we have to extend a Clockhouse? Can we take Clockhouse out of the equation? Because once we keep Clockhouse dead-ended, Century Heights isn't affected with this.
Certainly the council, again, as I said, has the authority to stop this development, as you have, or some of you have indicated. They could give him a permission for 20 lots until 53rd comes forward. The council has the authority to do that, and the council only. So it'll be up to City Council.
Okay, well, just for the record, that's one of the proposals I think would be something to really consider is let's not extend Clockhouse. Let's keep that as a dead end. Thank you.
I'm Cliff Pym, and I'm at 5656 Madison Court. And we have lived in that development for over 6 years. And I've watched all the homes to the east and to the north of us go in. So we'll watch that whole development grow. And I'm off of this traffic area. I'm a block and a half away. Here's one of the concerns that I have that hasn't been brought up yet. We have the infrastructure of the elementary school so stressed right now that we've got kids in that development going to four different schools. So you got buses coming in and out of that area all day long. All day long. So then you're going to put on Clock Tower where all the buses come down. They drive that way, and they drive back out down Hugo. Then you're going to put all that construction traffic and all of that neighborhood traffic on those two roads in this development. I think that's a bad idea. I want that voice heard. Thank you.
Thank you, Cliff.
Todd Kaplan from 5523 Julianne again. One of the concerns I brought up earlier still has not been answered, and I'd like an answer before the end of today, if possible, is the heavy equipment, as of right now, has no way in other than Clockhouse. So we said that there's an alternative path that it's going to get there. If there is and it's going to avoid the subdivision, then that's great, but I think that's something that should be answered as opposed to avoided for this discussion. Thanks.
My name is Mike Marlin, 5406 Judge Road. Just echo everything that's already been said, but the one comment I'd like to make is, it's, and you already heard it, is we're not opposed to growing our city, because we all understand the importance of that. I think what it is, it's that the cost of safety is the concern. So if we talk about what really what we're asking for is not a guarantee, but we, I don't think we've felt comfortable yet that we've heard that there's going to be another alternative other than going down Judge. And that's really what we want to hear. Thank you.
We had a question about access for heavy equipment, and I believe there was a comment about an alternative. I heard a request for a clarification on that. Rob, would you care to comment on that just to clear up those concerns, please?
Currently, there is a dedicated right-of-way for 53rd Street that goes approximately 650 feet, I believe, even though there's no improvement to that.
Go to the overhead, Greg. Put it on the overhead.
Be down at the bottom of the plat there.
Yeah.
You mean put it on?
Oh.
Goes.
That's right here.
From here. To there.
So that's access that's available right now.
That's in public right away.
Okay.
We would have to take and swing 53rd a little bit to the south, but it can all fit within that right away.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And would be our hope that city staff would be able to negotiate an easement for us to come off of that to our site.
Thank you.
Question, did you say south or north? Excuse me, I didn't hear you. I apologize.
It,
53rd would go which way?
Okay, exactly. As you're heading east on 53rd,
yes, sir.
We have half of the right-of-way from the center line of that existing 53rd paved south, but that's enough right-of-way to take and swing in the, into that and continue that on to the east.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, last call for questions.
Sorry, I just want to understand. It sounds like there's a chance that you may not get that alternate access. Sorry, where did the developer go? You have to petition for an easement, is that what I heard? So there is a chance you may not get that.
Well,
fair to say, right?
No, I think I just told you twice. I'll say it for the third time. City Council has the authority to condemn that piece to connect to the piece that Rob just talked about. We're in conversations with the owner of the property about trying to work that a sale with a different developer who needs to connect to the south. It's our hope that, we can all do this in an amicable way. If we can't do it in an amicable way, this staff is going to recommend to the council that we take that and connect it.
Yeah. Well, hope is not a strategy. Want to make that clear, first of all.
I would just say this. And the council said last night, because, Eric, you've been here how many times?
Three or four.
And you heard the council last night, did you not? And were they supportive of that? Yes. And I can tell you in conversations with the other council members, they have the same concern and said to us, and I mentioned it last night again to the council, we're going to need to do that to make this happen. So if you want this neighborhood to feel that you are listening to their concerns, the staff believes that the right maneuver here, let the parties try to come together for a very brief period of time if they can. If they can't, then we should use our power to make this connection and make it happen.
Okay.
And that's going to be our recommendation.
Yep.
It is our recommendation.
I'm just hearing that there's still a chance that the 119 homes could be built and things fall through with 53rd and Hopewell. There is still a chance. Will you admit that?
I would say that chance is very remote. The council's plan and already funded is Hopewell to the north. The council has indicated to us that they're okay with us moving ahead with 53rd. and they funded both those projects.
Okay.
I don't think if they felt that they didn't want to do it, they would take that money and spend it someplace else.
Yeah, it's just that chance that we're not willing to accept. We're not willing to accept that risk. And I guess Schoolhouse Road was brought up before. I don't know if this is correct background on it or not, but residents there claimed that for a long time another access was supposed to be put in for that development, and it did never happen. So there was a lot of hope. There were a lot of promises.
And
there
Council halted it.
Yep.
They stopped the development. They have the authority to do the same thing to Mr. Fick, and they could do that.
I would ask to exercise that.
If I could, please, the lots that were developed on the east leg of settlement at Pigeon Creek subdivision, that halt came at the final platting stage. It did not come at the preliminary platting stage.
Okay. Not sure what difference that makes, but...
Should
it have come earlier? Should it have...
I'm giving you information, sir.
No, and should it have come earlier, I guess would be my question. It seems ill-timed.
Well, again, as I said before, and I just want to make it clear, we're not doing this in a vacuum. There's a lot of development that's occurring in the city. There's a lot of issues that occur as part of this. And we understand your concerns. If we didn't think that you weren't concerned, we would just tell you to go away, and we're going to do what we're going to do. We spent some serious time with the city council regarding how we can make this happen and try to take into consideration the developer's timetable. And again, the council authorized dollars to be spent both on the north and the south streets. This is a normal course of events for us. It is not for you, and we appreciate that. You don't do this every day, and you haven't done it but one time or two times in your life. We're trying to tell you that we're confident that this is a normal process. This is how this works. And we are going to make it happen, just like we've done in the previous 19 subdivisions here and the other subdivisions to your west that have worked out very nicely. And there's a lot of growth out here. You're exactly right. The person who described the school district is now going from a two-section school to a four-section school in less than 5 years. That's unheard of. They're probably going to develop Forest Grove Road or Forest Grove School. They thought they'd be there in 10 years. They're probably going to be there in 5 years. We're having to adjust our timetable now to Forest Grove Road to the north and going to spend $9 million on Forest Grove Road. So we are moving in sync with this, and we're comfortable that we can make it happen and keep you satisfied and keep you safe. We're comfortable with that.
Thank you for the opportunity to voice our concerns.
It's Eric again. So there was quite a bit of discussion last night at the end of the city council meeting, I think specifically from Stewart and Maine about condemnation, and there was several other council members nodding their heads in approval. So, I think our position is pretty clear that we just want that distinct access point directly from 53rd into the neighborhood. And if you can't work something out with Unity Corp and the Mr. Fick and the other developer, you know, to get another access point in there, I think we got to lobby for condemnation. And I mean, I think we're all pretty much going to be contacting all the city council members to recommend that. So I mean, I think that's the plan of attack at this point.
They're the appropriate body to contact, and believe me, they have all this correspondence. They live for it.
Hi, my name is Eric Winrow, and I live at 5670 Madison Court. Can you just walk us through what the next steps are? We've voiced our concerns. You guys have your to-dos. What are the next steps after this?
Well, the next step is that I think the Planning and Zoning Commission will take a vote on whether to recommend this for approval to City Council or not. If it is recommended for approval, then it will go to the City Council. Proceed at the next council meeting in 3 weeks. If the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends against moving this preliminary plat forward, the developer can still request that it go to the City Council. The only difference is the City Council, instead of a simple majority, would require what we call a supermajority of, or 6 of 7 for approval. Was that the question?
Did that answer your question?
Is that tonight then? The vote is tonight then?
Some sort of a vote,
I would
guess, will take place tonight.
Thank you.
So before I call for the vote here, I would just throw in my editorial comment that I know any of these matters look a lot different from that side of the table or the room than they do from this side of the room. Looking at it from where we're sitting, and I'm speaking for myself, not for the commission, at the preliminary platting stage of this process, we've been provided with all of the information that we're typically provided with. This is a decision that we make many times based on this information. Now, if this were the final plat, if we were considering the final plat tonight and these issues were unresolved, I'm pretty confident Mr. Fick probably wouldn't be here if those issues hadn't been resolved. So as Bill explained, as the process moves, the amount of information that is available changes, and the amount of information that we need to make a decision changes. For consideration of a preliminary plat, we've been provided with everything that the city expects from the developer. And we've heard a lot of good input from the city as far as their capital improvement plans for the streets and how they plan to access that, what sounds to me like in an expedited fashion. So I feel comfortable that we're ready to make a consideration, and we've received all the information we need for that. I'll go ahead and call for the vote. Or no, I'm not going to call for a vote. I'm going to ask if anybody would like to make a motion.
Yes, I'll make a motion that we approve case number 13-015, subject to staff recommendations.
Thank you. Okay. Any discussion on the motion? No?
No?
Okay. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Okay. Motion has been approved. Thank you very much. We'll move on to the next case tonight, which is case number 13-016, Copper Ridge, 3rd Edition. It's a preliminary plat. Greg, do you have a staff report for us?
Madam Chairwoman, this second preliminary plat can be reached coming up Devil's Glen Road. Have an access that comes in this way through the current Copper Ridge Second Edition. You have Forest Grove Drive up here. We have 26 lots that are accessed through the existing opening here. And we have 3 cul-de-sacs. Most of these lots are adjoining a street that comes in and then feeds into these cul-de-sacs right here. All stormwater will go into the detention basin, this water feature that is existing, or that retention basin. And looking at this, one of the things that staff wants to make clear is that there will be, because you do have double frontage lots out here and here as well, planting strip will be required in this area, or a fence with an evergreen every 25 feet. Planting strip would be 20 feet wide. Also, we have lowest entry elevations being required for any of these lots here or any other lot that is facing a drainage way easement into this water feature or anywhere else, so that the openings would not be in such a manner open or close to a low enough elevation so that water flow, stormwater runoff, could potentially get into that structure. And the other thing too is, when this does come before this body in any final plat form that incorporates this outlot, it will require replatting notification, because this outlot has already been platted as part of the second edition of Copper Ridge. Other than those conditions and the ones listed in the staff report, staff recommends approval of this preliminary plat. I would ask, are there any questions?
I have a very basic question. I think if I asked the developer, he would tell me there's a lake there. And you referred to a water feature, and you also referred to a detention area. Those are one and the same, correct?
I believe it's designed so that it does detain the water from the entirety, and they do have to provide calculations. His engineer does, the developer's engineer, to show that this area does, in fact, take water from the subdivision, and that includes any that is going this way, that it does necessarily retain enough or detain enough water, stormwater, to meet the requirements for the entirety of the subdivided area.
Easy answer is they are one and the same.
That's what I thought. Thank you. Right. Does anybody else have any questions for Gray? Anyone in the audience? Well, now that's very simple. Would anyone like to make a motion?
I move that we approve case 13016, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. All right. Motion's approved. I believe we have one more case to consider tonight, and that is case number 13-017. It's a site development plan for 1109 Terrace Park Drive. You have a staff report, Greg?
Madam Chairwoman, this area is approached by coming up Utica Ridge Road here, and you have Terrace Park Drive, Utica Ridge Court. Existing right now is the current facility for Rock Island Arsenal Credit Union. They intend to use this area here, or the area that was vacant right here, as the majority of the site improvements with stormwater air detention going in here. This is part of a plat that had been done back in 1965, and mainly it is lot 78 of Terrace Park Edition that is really involved here for a majority of these improvements going in. And it has been replatted slightly since then by incorporating this section from a plat over here and incorporating part of what was lot 65 at one time. This is the view showing the existing structure and stormwater detention, which would go down here into the parking lot. There'd be an additional access coming in this way right here. You already have a current access coming in this way, so there'd be two of them. This will be made into a right-in, right-out access. The approach coming in off of Terrace Park Drive will be offset equally with what is across the street so that there'd be circulation here. Potential area is right here for the building. The building is going to be set up in such a manner that there will be a front entryway here on the will be the ground floor, I believe, and then in the back, this would almost be like coming out like a entry level or a rear entry from a basement level, so that this will be actually one story higher here in the front than in the back. And that's to try to grade this so that the runoff issue that might face the neighbors if this were all at the same level as this, runoff issue is somewhat abated, and that water is channeled into various intakes into the detention basin here. You also have two detention areas out here that are being used to collect the sheet flow and then bring that into our storm sewer systems. Approaches coming in here off of Utica Ridge. Here's the right in, right out. Traffic circulation this way, an entry, full entry here coming in off of Terrace Park Drive. And this is the structure in itself right here, potential future area for maybe another structure, and then the building here yet to be determined is what may happen to the existing structure. These are the elevations showing front entry right here, two-story level there, and this is the rear entry, and then showing those two stories, and then the ground, or I should say the floor, it might be through the rear entry another story. We might look at that, but basically you're going to have this being a structure that will have three different levels. Landscape plan meets our requirements. We did have some questions on these arborvitae up here, whether or not they'd be deep-rooted enough to potentially get into the electrical easement. the landscape architect assured us that that would not be likely given the shallow root structure of the arborvitae. Also, these trees here have been added. They're of a four caliper variety or 4-inch caliper so that the overall tree count for the site would be met. This site is rather large, so it does involve a great deal of street frontage, and the trees, we wouldn't want them placed out here in these drainage areas because of the leaves that they might throw off. We gave credit to the existing trees being here so that the overall tree count was met. Staff in reviewing this particular submittal recommends approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask you, are there any questions?
Greg, on this view that you're showing us right now where it says future development, which is on the south side, I think. No, the next future development.
Oh, here.
Yeah. Is that where the existing building is now?
Right here.
It's right there.
Okay. So when we're hearing about future development, that means that that building may be changed or raised or?
It may be removed. And at that time, because we don't see a footprint on here at this time, they would have to come back to this body to get approval.
Okay. All right. Any questions from the commission?
I think the applicants may be willing to try and answer that question for you.
Okay. I'd be happy to hear that.
My name is Larry Coverstone. I'm president of the credit union. As far as future development, we don't know what we're going to do with the building at this point. So we don't know if we'll take it down or sell it or rent it out. So future development of that piece that we're currently in is undetermined at this point.
Okay, thank you.
Is there a drive-up lanes? Is that what those are? There, okay.
I'm sorry, could you address that question again?
I just asked if there were drive-up lanes.
Currently?
That are proposed. Those are new?
Yes, the new drive-up lanes are circled there.
Okay.
The current structure does have drive-up lanes to the south. And we appeared previously to get a special use permit for the new drive-up situation.
Just for clarification, if they do keep the building and they wish to put a drive-up pizza purveyor in there, that would be a different trip to the Zoning Board of Adjustment for a special use permit, because drive-up banking facility and drive-up window are listed as two separate types of uses.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody in the office? Audience, sorry. I'm no. Thinking about that office building, I guess.
Okay. Joe Minorek, Vice President of Design at Lamakia Group. As Greg had indicated, the facility is designed to be two stories in the front, about two and a half, two and three quarters off the back. About 3 weeks ago, we held a neighborhood meeting at the credit union. Several people showed up, had a lot of questions. We believe that we've incorporated many of the items that they've requested. Primary concern has been stormwater all along. Currently, the stormwater, if we can go back to the site plan, Greg. Currently, just about all the stormwater off of the site pours off to the east into the neighbors' backyards, and we are proposing a curb line about 18 feet in from the east property line, and along that point there are a series of catch basins to catch the stormwater that would be normally going onto their properties and is connected to the retention or the detention basin. One of the questions that were brought up at the neighborhood meeting was could we reinforce the lack of stormwater coming onto their property with a berm along that east side? and we've talked about that. We are incorporating that along with a fence line just about the entire length of the blue line that's up there as well to screen headlights. Other things that I might add is site lighting. The site lighting will be LED lighting. Is something that was discussed today, in that at the property lines there will be 0 foot candles of light, so there will be zero pollution onto the neighboring properties. We've had several meetings with the planning staff prior to submission. We've talked with engineering as well on how we take the stormwater from the pond down to the cul-de-sac, and we're asking for your approval tonight to be passed on to the council, I believe, in the first week in May. Happy to answer any other questions. I've got some other illustrations here as well. I'll just show those. Three.
Can we pick those up better if they come up to the front, Greg? If he brings those up to the front, will we be able to...
Yeah, I can hold it up.
Yeah. Have Vanna, give them to Vanna here, and she'll take care of them for you.
You can put it right here.
There we go.
That one's good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Greg.
Okay. These illustrations here that I have are the same illustrations that we used at the neighborhood meeting. As you can see here, we've got the view as you were to enter the property off of Utica Ridge Road. The two-story entry element is right here. Much of the building is a high-performance glass, as well as brick tower features on each of the four corners, and solid cut stone at the entryway as well as in the back. The opposite side is the view as if you were standing in the neighbor's property looking at the building through the drive-through canopy. The drive-through is on your left, and the 2.5 story high building is indicated here. You can see how the grade falls off along that side. Okay. The space in the middle, I'll just mention, I think one of the plans indicated future development. If anything, that would be future parking, not a building. I just want to stress that. It's not
okay.
A third building would not be installed there. It would be future parking.
Hmm.
Actually, it's in the middle there, Greg.
Oh, that, okay.
That area, yep. Okay. We believe that we have an appropriate number of parking stalls. Still thinking green, that instead of just having an asphalt parking lot and creating excess runoff, that we have chosen to keep that green at this time, okay? And I believe the pond, correct me if I'm wrong, Jason, the pond is designed for the future parking as well as future development in the southwest corner. Again, happy to answer any other questions that you might have.
I don't think so. Thank you. It's an attractive looking building.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone in the audience? Any other questions?
I have a question, I guess, is that any future development within that area would have to go through the same process that we're doing now. Is that what I understand?
That is correct.
Okay. Yeah, I would want to see a dog pound or something like that going in. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Bob Jurkowski. I live at 1119 Terrace Park Drive with my wife, Peggy. We're the property just to the northeast end of the development, and we do appreciate, Joe, your the meeting with the neighbors 2-3 weeks ago, and it's good to see the berm is going to be put up. My understanding, can you give me the dimensions? I think you mentioned at the last week at a meeting here it was like 4 foot high. You'll have a fence 6 foot on top of that?
Yeah, I think the berm is about 2.5 feet tall.
2.5.
Yep, and
6 foot? Okay. And at the meeting 3 weeks ago, you mentioned the possibility of running tile under the berm to assure that the runoff goes into the detention pond. Is that part of the plan? Okay. The exit onto Terrace Park Drive, how you say it's going to be directly across from Miller Manor? The existing business across?
Correct.
Okay, so it's a little further towards.
I can't say offhand right now exactly where it is in relation to that. Mm-hmm. Is that shown on that site plan, Greg?
The entry was not shown over here, but most likely typically we have that as a requirement. So as to not have any awkward turning movements between the two properties.
It appears from the aerial photograph that it is directly across.
There we go. You can see it right there.
Yeah, it appears that it aligns.
Okay. I guess one other question, the runoff out of that driveway onto Terrace Park Drive, how much of the water runoff are we looking at?
Yeah, we've tried to do all we can. Stop trying to make up all the grades there. But we broke the grade right at the top of the entrance to tilt back into the site to make sure that any stormwater that came down the north side of that building will get directed, to the storm inlets and not down the drive. So the only part that would be coming down the drive would be just the drive itself. Everything else has been directed back into the site.
Okay. One other question. The process, when you take a vote on this, what's the next step in the development of getting this built?
The next step will be the Planning and Zoning Commission will vote to make a recommendation to City Council either in favor or not in favor of recommending approval. This goes in 3 weeks to the City Council. We do a Monday night Committee of the Whole presentation where I do a presentation very similar to what Greg has just done, and then the City Council will vote on it to put it on the consent agenda, and then it's actually approved at the council meeting on Tuesday night. So theoretically, if all of the detention calculations and types of things are approved by the engineering department for this project, a building permit could be issued the next day after the approval of the City Council.
Okay. Okay, one last question then in terms of the construction. I guess at the meeting 3 weeks ago, Joe, you mentioned that construction would go over the course of 12 months. Approximately.
Yes.
Okay, so our concern during the construction is runoff, and you mentioned the silt fences and such. I guess that's a concern that, you know, during construction, runoff not come onto the property and saturate what gets pretty saturated in a situation like today.
That's a great example.
Sorry. Yeah. If I can address that one, the permittee will have to go through a process for that, which includes a state permit as well as a permit that's issued through the city prior to any dirt being moved on site. That has to be approved by the engineering department as well prior to moving forward.
Okay, so we will, as neighbors, have points of contact to if things are not going the way we thought it would go.
Yeah, you can call. We have an erosion control inspector that comes out regularly and takes a look at the sites. If there's any concerns, definitely just give us a call.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in the audience? Any other questions from the commission?
I move that we approve case number 13-017, subject to staff recommendations.
Second. Okay. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We have a third case approved. Bill, do we have a commission update?
Subsequent to the last Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, Lodges at Beaver Meadows first edition, the final plat, was approved by the City Council. Last night, the public hearing and first reading for 2421 53rd Avenue, the C3 conditional rezoning, was acted on 6-1. As you recall, it required the supermajority of the City Council. There's still two readings to come. A lot of good discussion from the City Council and from people that were present. Not quite as lengthy a meeting as the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, but it was a little longer than usual.
But I did read a nice article in the paper, and it sounded like a lot of the same questions were raised and discussed. And so it's interesting to see how the council handled the case. Similar concerns.
I think it was a very good process through Planning and Zoning Commission and the first public hearing and first reading at council last night. So we'll see what happens when the second and third readings come about.
Okay, thank you. I believe that wraps it up for tonight. We're adjourned. Thanks,
thank you,
everybody.
You.